We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow a successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. Hi everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast. Lindsay and I have been raring to go this morning, really excited to start interviewing Amy from Be More Me Designs. Now, I actually came across Amy's page a number of years ago. I have been racking my brain trying to figure out if it was through another person that I knew or if it was a page that was shared, but I have no idea. Amy, you might have more of an insight into where we first sort of connected, but it was a while ago now. In fact, you had a different name at that point. So without further ado, I will just say, hi Amy, welcome to the podcast. Would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself? Where you grew up, where you live now, a bit about your business, maybe how you got into crafting, etc.
Hello. Hi, Hannah and Lindsay. It's lovely to meet you both, first of all, like this over Skype. Yeah, you're right. I mean, we connected a good while ago when my Instagram page was called Nimrod Garn Jewelry, which was a mixture of mine and my husband's nicknames. Very random. I think made up when I was drunk one night or something. I think we connected. I don't know whether it was through me just looking at small business things and sort of different hashtags, and I might have come across you, or you know, vice versa. Maybe I'd hashtag small business or startup or something, and I think you'd started following me one way or the other. But I remember you right from the beginning, because I remember you reaching out and saying, oh, I've got a rundown of how to do things on Etsy if you want me to send it across. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, ever since you've been there. So yeah, I'm Amy. I'm originally from Cardiff, and I now live in Northamptonshire with my husband. Yeah, a bit of background about me. I guess I have always been crafty. I loved art at school. I liked design technology as well. They were sort of a couple of the subjects I used to have really good grades in. Kind of came quite naturally to me. But it wasn't something that I pursued as a career. I did crafty things in the background. I would make gifts for friends. I would do paintings and drawings, or I'd have a go at sewing, you know, all different things, but nothing was really my niche. And I trained to be a broadcast journalist, so most of my career has been something very completely different to jewellery. So this is really a whole new venture to me.
Oh, that's great to hear, Amy. So tell us, so you've mentioned jewellery, so tell us a little bit more about, you know, what it is you make and what's your favourite thing that you make.
Okay, so yeah, I make handcrafted silver and gold jewellery, and I like to say it's to mark a moment. The reason for that is because in the past, whenever I've bought myself jewellery or bought it for somebody else, usually it is for an occasion or it is to mark something special. And that to me is what jewellery really is. So as I say, I make with silver and all golds. I have had a little dabble with brass, and I use gemstones in some of my jewellery. I can do personalised hand stamping and texturing. So a sort of variety of different things. The designs I make are a mixture of my own ideas, just things that I quite like myself, really. But also it's developed in a way that a lot of people have come to me with their ideas. They want something made for somebody else or for themselves, again, for really to mark an occasion. And I'll work with them on sketches, or, you know, we'll send some pictures across of things they might have seen, and then I'll adapt it to my own ideas. We sort of work together then to create something very unique for that person. And it's just developed like that, really, over the last couple of years. I'd say being able to work that way has given me a good variety of things to make. Yeah, when I started doing this, I thought, right, well, you know, I'll need to sell things. So I had an idea of, I'll make a certain set of jewellery and I'll try and sell it. And actually, it's been the other way around. People have come to me asking, could you do this, could you do that? And in a way, I haven't had the time to do those other things that I was planning. And I love that it's developed that way, actually. And it's given me challenges. When people have said, could you make something with these stones or this look, it's given me challenges that I probably wouldn't have tried out before. So I'll go away and research, is that something I could do? Do I need new tools for that? And it's pushed me to try out new things too. So yeah, I mean, I'm constantly developing and learning, and it's just been brilliant doing that, really. I think the favourite things are when it's something sentimental. So when somebody comes to me and it might be to represent a loss of somebody or to mark a really amazing occasion, knowing that I'm making a design that somebody's had in their own head to wear and look at and think about that certain thing is just so heartwarming to me when I'm actually making it and knowing what the reason is behind that piece of jewelry. And that surprised me in a way. As I say, it's not where I was expecting to go with this when I first started making jewelry. So that's definitely, I think, my favorite area of what I do.
One of the things I loved on your page when the design was one of the I saw that you got some rainbow. So I'm a bit of a fan of rainbows, and they looked absolutely beautiful. So yeah, they really caught my eye.
With the rainbows, that's actually, I guess, another little avenue that I've tried. Over the last year or two, since I've been making, I have actually done, I guess you could call them collections, to help raise money for charities. So it started, I made what I call my nuggets. And it's literally where you melt down a ball of silver and you hammer it flat and I stamp a little heart onto it. And they're pendants, and I've started doing them on bracelets as well. And I would donate £5 from each of those sales to Tommy's, which is a charity really close to my heart. And I sold quite a few of those on my first Christmas. And then during lockdown last year, obviously rainbows were everywhere.
Yeah.
And I made a rainbow pin badge for a friend of mine who's a nurse. And I posted that. And then I thought, I had a really good response from it. And I thought, actually, I felt really useless actually in lockdown, because I don't have children. I'm not homeschooling. I'm here making jewellery. I feel like I'm getting away with it. So I decided to try and raise some money for NHS charities together. And I ended up making, I think it was about 120 to 100, I can't remember, about 100, could have got to about 150, I think, rainbow pin badges throughout the whole summer. So that's another element of what I enjoy doing, is to try and raise money for charities that are close to my heart, really. And that's been a good element of what I do as well.
Oh, that sounds so good. That really
it
does.
Really,
so
honestly,
special.
It really does, doesn't it? What an amazing journey. And just to be, like you say, to be going down so many different avenues, like that, that keeps it keeps it exciting as well. You know, it's not always the same thing over and over again. And I completely understand, because I make lockets, as you may know, on one of my shops. And one of my favourite sort of categories is memorial pieces, because just to know that somebody is wearing something that you've made to memorialise somebody that's been very special to them.
It really is. And to just know that they're putting that faith in you to do that for them, I mean, that has just meant the world to me. And it's, you know, it's why I'm doing it. And I just want to continue doing it, because it means so much, doesn't it?
So I wanted to, because you mentioned, did you say journalism or broadcast journalism? Maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it means something different. I don't know. But what was your title in your previous life?
In my previous life. I was a broadcast journalist. I trained at university in broadcast journalism. So I didn't want to do all of the writing. I wanted to do the speaking and the presenting. So that's the broadcast element. I wasn't interested in sitting and writing. I mean, to be honest, before that, my goal when I was a teenager was I wanted to be a TV presenter. When I went to a careers advisor, they look at you and go, oh, okay. the advice was to go into broadcast journalism. So, oh, okay, I'll do that. And actually, it took me into a career that I absolutely loved. And I was in it for about 10 to 12 years, working in radio. So I did radio news. I worked across different radio stations, reading the news, writing the news, reporting, so going out to different stories, interviewing celebs now and again, which was brilliant. Yeah. From there, I moved into music TV. So with that, I was doing sort of voiceovers for Showbiz News. I was writing like top 50 boy band scripts. I mean, I was living life. It was brilliant. I remember once one of my stories was when I worked at Kiss Radio in Bristol. I didn't get to interview her, but I loved Nelly Furtado. And she came in with her sister. And I was basically just looking through the studio door, just like, ow. And her sister came up to me and she was like, God, you feel so cold. That's a really bad American accent. And I was like, oh my God, Nelly Furtado's sister touched my arm. But unfortunately, the industry of commercial radio at the time, it was when the credit crunch hit and there were a lot of redundancies made. So I went into freelancing. My ambition was to be on Radio 1 Newsbeat. I did it, loved it. But at the same time, I was offered a job at ITN Productions to work in music TV. So there was this split between, oh, what do? Do I move to TV? Do I stay in radio? And I chose the TV route. But it's quite a cutthroat industry. And particularly at a time when companies were struggling financially, they had to cut back on freelancers. So after a few years of working in music TV, they had to cut a lot of us back. And it got to the point where I had to make a decision, really, as to what do I want to do? Do I want to go back to radio or do I want to try and go on a different avenue? And from there, I fell into a couple of jobs that were not so much me. They were more project management style jobs. It was more in the corporate sector, still production, so making videos and things. But I was a project manager and a producer. And then I also worked at the Open University as a broadcast project manager then when we moved up to Northampton. And again, it was a lot of project management, which now I realise is really good to help me with my business. But at the time, it felt like, oh, I've lost my way a bit here. As much as I enjoyed elements of the jobs, there were elements I didn't enjoy so much. And I was not so happy in those roles. So it kind of led me down a completely different path.
Well, my next question actually was going to be, what made you start your handmade business?
So I'd worked in these roles for about 6 years. And as I say, I wasn't really feeling completely happy. And then we started trying for a family. And after a year, we fell pregnant. So that was the end of 2017. And unfortunately, we had a missed miscarriage. So at 8 weeks, I had an early scan and there was no heartbeat, which was obviously quite traumatic at the time. Around the time that I was thinking, oh, you know, I just think I need to break away and do something completely different. But what could it be? I don't have a niche of something that I can move into. I'd always thought about jewellery in the back of my mind, but I just thought it was unreachable. I just thought, how do you do that? I'd have to go back to university. I don't know the first thing about making jewellery. And the reason I mentioned the miscarriage is because after we had our scan and it was confirmed that our baby had stopped developing, we went to a little place called Olney, which is near where I live. And we went into a jewellery shop. And there was a lady there who owns the shop called Boo. Lovely little jewellery shop. She was making at her bench in the corner of the shop. And I'd never really seen in the UK a shop where someone's actually making the jewellery as well. And so I started chatting to her and she said, at the time, I think she'd only been doing it for a few years. She'd left her career to do it and started this shop. And she was so inspirational at the moment I really needed it. And so I said, do you teach? And she said, no, well, I don't. But there's a lady down the road who does. So I had a bit of time off from work after suffering our miscarriage then. And it just made me think I just need to give something new a go, something that's more me. So I got in touch with this lady. A month later, I went and did a 3-hour jewellery course with her, made my first ring with a turquoise gemstone. And that was it. I was.
That's so nice to hear that, because that's a bit how I was with making fairies. I always say it was love at first make, which I know sounds really corny, but it was.
So true. So it's amazing. I remember saying to Becky, the tutor, I was like, oh, I'd love to do this, you know, all the time. And she said, you could. And I was like, don't be so silly. No, I can't. I do a project management role, you know. and that was it. I went back to her a couple of times for some more courses. And then throughout that year of 2018, I attended some day courses at the London Jewellery School. I was obsessed. I was researching everything at the same time as doing my 9 to 5. I started posting on Instagram, which I think is probably when we connected, Anna. And people started asking, oh, could you make this or could you make that? And that was when it started challenging me with new things. And I think at the same time, I was struggling mentally after having our miscarriage, because we still didn't fall pregnant throughout that year. And I had a lot of friends falling pregnant in every friendship group, everywhere I looked. And it got to the point where by the end of that year, I broke down, really, because I just said, I'm in a place where I just don't feel happy and nothing's happening. And I just don't know what to do with myself. And so we had a long chat about it, me and my husband, and decided that actually the one thing I could change was my work. And we'd both seen how much I'd fallen in love with the jewellery. And I just kept saying, I feel like maybe I could do something with this. I seem to be getting quite good responses from people. They're coming to me asking me to make things, you know, and this is a hobby at the moment. And so 6 months later, I left my job and went for it. And I mean, I don't have a clue about business. If people said to me a few years ago, would you run your own business? I'd have laughed and gone, absolutely not. And now I'm like, wow, what has happened? So it's just proof that, you know, if you fall in love with something, go for it.
Yeah. Oh, that's such an inspiring story, Amy. Don't you agree, Anna?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we spoke a few episodes back on the released episodes about how, I've read a book about how inspiration kind of, I've forgotten, what's it called? Big Magic. But who's it by, Lindsay? Can you remember?
Oh.
Who's Big Magic by?
Oh, I forgot the author. I want to say Elizabeth somebody.
It's not Elizabeth Gilbert. I'm sure it's not.
But, is it not? But, oh, that's who I was thinking.
But about how inspiration is like almost like magic. Mm. And it kind of comes and it sits in your head and then you've got to run with it, and if you don't run with it, it will leave you. But obviously it's come and it's sat in your head and you've ran with it because it was meant for you. Oh. Literally, it's like magic's just appeared and you have run with it, and look at the amazing things that you're doing with it. So it was your kismet, your fate. This is your destiny. So absolutely. And you can see it on your face, can't you, Lindsay?
You can
passion and love and excitement you've got when you're talking about your jewelry and your business, the thing you never thought you'd ever have, or you, if somebody had asked you thought no. But I'm the same. If somebody had said to me when I was younger, are you going to have a business? No, I'm not. I'm going to be a forensic psychologist. Like, I'm not going to have a business. No. Making jewelry, no. I'm not crafty. So yeah, isn't it funny how life just kind of turns out?
And so thought that the magic, you know, sprinkling over you, you're so right. It was just that moment of, it was just sat there in my head. It was all I could think about. And, you know, I didn't care about my 9 to 5 anymore. I was like, I just want to go home and make jewelry.
Oh, that is, yeah. That's so nice when you're so passionate about it, because I think it just comes over in everything you do. So obviously, when you first start a business, you know, when it does go from being a hobby to a business, it can be, you know, quite a challenge. It's certainly a different mindset. So what was your business struggle with it?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, as I say, I don't have a business background. I've had to learn everything from scratch. And I still am. Like, I need to say that I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly feeling my way. I absolutely do not think I'm a business guru whatsoever. Part of it for me is probably wanting to do everything now. I want to be making diamond rings. I want my website to be done. I want beautiful marketing to go out, you know, packaging and everything, but I want it all now. And there's just not enough hours in the day. And that's one of the things I've had to really pull myself back and go one thing at a time, you know, one day at a time. I can't do it all straight away. And part of me, I think sometimes when I do have quite a few orders coming in, part of me thinks, should I take a moment and go, no, I just need to concentrate on how I'm going to grow the business, or do I continue with the orders? And so far I'm continuing with the orders, because number one, it's amazing that people are even coming to me and asking me to make things. And number two, I realized that it is helping me learn new skills each time. And I think, as I say, I'm still feeling my way into what my business really is, what I want it to grow into. Do I want it just to be bespoke designs? Do I want my own lines of things? Do I want it to be raising money for charity? Do I want it all? Yes, I do. Basically. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge at the moment, is just to navigate where I'm going, how I'm doing it. But I'm enjoying learning along the way, if that makes sense. And I think the other thing as well is going from a full-time job, a career where I've been around so many people, so busy, traveling about, doing this, that, and the other, to working from home, which we all now know we can all do.
Yeah.
But being on your own and going from being, I guess, not told what to do, but you know, you're working to somebody, you've got a manager, you've got different deadlines for different projects, whereas now I'm my manager, I'm my own boss, I'm in control of what I'm doing. And sometimes that actually is quite overwhelming, I guess, because it's all down to you. But the amazing thing with that is the connection to customers, so the connection to people who are coming and asking for me to make things and hearing their stories and going back and forth with them has been, I guess, the savor in it all, because I've not felt alone in it, if that makes sense. And also because of lockdown, my husband's been at home working a little bit too, which is really nice.
Yeah. You said at the start there about, you know, you want it all now. That's been a massive thing that I think I've personally struggled with, because you put in a lot of effort and a lot of time into various things and you're like, right, I want to see my results now. I want to have it all now.
Yeah.
I want to wake up tomorrow and it's all done. I think we all kind of feel that pain.
Yeah, we could all relate to that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And I think as well, you think, you know, it probably from the outside, it looks like, wow, she's making so many pieces, you know, she must be raking it in. And actually it's learning about, and I listened to one of your episodes about, you know, pricing things. It's learning how to price things. It's learning how to appreciate your value and feel that you can put that into your prices. Because I know when I first started, I might have given a price for something and somebody might say, oh, that's a bit much. And I think, well, I'm not going to devalue the time that I'm spending on this. And actually, if you don't appreciate that, you're not my customer. But it's learning to accept that, because obviously you just want to say yes to everyone and, you know, wow, they like my stuff. It's a huge learning curve, all of it. And hopefully, you know, I'm kind of going in the right direction.
And I love the fact as well that you just said there, that if somebody says, oh, well, that's too much, then you just know that that's just not your person. That's what I really say is the truth, that, you know, if that person is not valuing, that person's just not for you. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Somebody else is.
Exactly. Yeah. And those people have come back for more. So, you know, you're doing something right when that happens. And actually, sorry, the other thing I was going to say about, it might look like, oh, I must be making, you know, lots of money because I'm making so many different pieces. As you will both know, that money goes straight back into your business. So it's that transition as well, going from a full-time job with a full-time salary and being able to go and buy your clothes and do this and go on holiday, to actually, I've got no money because it's all going back into, oh, I'm going to go for this type of packaging, or I want to, you know, spend money on this or do that. But God, the amount of tools that you have to buy for jewellery is immense, and I'm constantly spending money on that. So, but at the same time, I've got to stop and go, well, that's a good thing because I'm making a bit of profit to put back into the business. So it's just, yeah, it's just learning all of these new cogs in my head of how to run a business, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds to me like you're doing amazingly, but would you say that there's been one particular thing, or more than one, that has really helped you in your business?
I would say, for anybody who was in my position, who knows absolutely nothing when you're starting, there is so much information out there to just, if you've got the time and the inclination to research it and to go out there looking, just things that you can follow for advice and guidance. So, I mean, I have jotted down a few examples of things that have helped me. I know that when I first started making jewellery, you may have heard of her, Anna, Jessica Rose, who runs the London Jewellery School. I came across Jewellers Academy online when I first started making. And the amount of information on there that they put into blogs, they put into videos, in podcasts, and it's all about starting your own jewellery business. It was essential to me to even imagine that I could. And that's free information as well. You know, they do courses that you can pay for as well to obviously build your skills and your business skills and everything. But just as the basic level of, could I do this? Being, I guess, sort of fed information like that helps you believe in yourself that you can and gives you those little tidbits of information that you need to get going. I also met with a business advisor at my local library when I first started. And again, that was an amazing resource to go and just find out, like, how do I start a business? And he talked to me about all sorts there, which was really helpful. And then just like listening to podcasts. So I listened to obviously yours.
Thank you.
I listened to Holly Tucker's Conversations of Inspiration, which if you haven't listened to them, please go and listen, because so many of them are about founders of businesses. She's like a small business godmother, you know, the stories behind some of the biggest businesses that we've heard of and the biggest brands. You realize like they're just a person too with an idea that just started or a passion for something, and they are really inspirational. And then other things just like NatWest Business Builder, there's loads of sort of videos on there that help. I get newsletters from random companies that I've come across somehow, like there's one called Carney, which is a digital agency, and that puts out sort of branding information of to put into your business. And then there's another one called Later, and they're an Instagram marketing platform, and they send newsletters out about how to use different. Tried my first reel on Instagram the other day, which was hilarious because I didn't know what I was doing, and I hadn't realized I'd actually recorded stuff, and I walked back on it, and I thought, oh my goodness. But I posted it because it was just really funny. It's just knowing that there is a lot of information out there, but it's also, I guess, pulling at those different pieces and pulling it together, which I know won't be for everybody, but I love learning, so I actually quite like doing that.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. So me and Anna have always got a nose in another book, haven't we, Anna? So I think we'd agree on the learning. We're always trying to learn.
We're actually really lucky as well in this day and age that we do have such a plethora of information on the internet. Oh. I mean, you can literally learn how to build a house on the internet for one to two. There's a YouTube video for that.
I think that's the thing. I think years ago, even 5 years ago or something, if this had happened then, I'm not sure I would have had the self-belief or enough information out there to think that I could even do this. But I think so many people are actually starting small businesses, as we know, especially in the last year with lockdown, it is possible to do it. And I think the other thing that's been so helpful is the support of other small businesses, other people doing similar things, particularly in handmade. Everyone is so supportive of each other because I think we all come from a very similar starting point and probably are all feeling our way a bit.
Yeah, I think that's so true. So Amy, I'm going to ask you another question. So I'm going to say the word failures, but me and Anna don't really like that word. So yeah. I'll say the whole question and then I'll kind of rephrase it a bit. But so have you had any failures in your business and how do you deal with them? But I think I really like to kind of, rather than say failures, sort of say learning points rather than a failure.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't really like to focus on things being a failure. I listened to Elizabeth Day's podcast, How to Fail, which sounds like, oh, that's, if you haven't listened to it again, that's an amazing one. Very inspiring because it's basically how to succeed from things that you feel you may have failed at. And I just love that sentiment because you're right. You are always learning from things. There are things I feel like I've personally failed at, whether it be sending something out in the post and it's not reached a person in time. That breaks my heart, you know, and that has happened a couple of times. Yeah. COVID hasn't helped the situation. The Royal Mail are doing an amazing job, but there are delays. that to me is a personal failure. I feel like I've really failed that person. And when that has happened, it hasn't happened too many times, but I think twice, and I've actually made them a complimentary pair of little earring studs and sent it to them as well, and just said, you know, this is a bit of, sort of, I guess, condolence for it getting, being there late, because it's not fair. They've come to me for something for a particular occasion, and although the post is completely out of my control, I still have that sense of responsibility. So it's little things like that, I think, when you feel like you might have let people down. And I just try to be as honest as I can with everybody and hope that that comes across so that they won't just think it's me being slack or me not caring about it. They'll understand that I really, really do. And I'm gutted if something like that happens. And probably more recently, my biggest failure has been my lack of organisation for my tax self-employment.
I saw you posting about that. Was it yesterday on Instagram? Yeah. I'm all up and down with the algorithm, but yes.
Oh, goodness. I mean, so I used to have to do a self-assessment when I was a freelancer years ago, but it's a bit different to when you're running a business, and obviously you've got so many things coming in and so much going out for all sorts. And I, like I put in my post, I've just put receipts in a drawer. I know they're there and they'll be there for when I need to do it. But then you forget about all the invoices and the receipts that are in your emails. You forget about things like your home bills that need to be included, or if you use your car, and oh goodness. So for the last couple of weeks, I'm drowning in tax stuff. So I've learned from that, you know, I just need to have a better bookkeeping system in place going forward.
I hate doing all that side of things. So I actually use QuickBooks, and it's just under £10 a month. And, you know, yes, that is another outlay, but actually that is the one job that I hate so much, because I always used to be like on spreadsheets and all of that. And so actually for me now, I can just do it all online and it's so much easier.
That's a really good tip. I've written it down, because I think that's, again, one of the things where when you're feeling your way, you get to a next challenge and you think, oh god, how do I do this? And I've just stuck to the spreadsheets, you know, because that's what I know how to use, and sort of that until I have the time to look at something else, and then you forget about it, and I'll just carry on making jewelry till next year. So I've written down QuickBooks, and I'm gonna
because I have to say, like, when you're a maker as well, we want to get on the make, don't we? We don't want to do all them boring things like the accounts and the tax. We just want to have fun and make stuff. So yeah, so I, you know, I can completely relate to that, Amy, because I've been there, and I've been that person too, that come the end of the year before April and you're like frantically like, oh my god, I've got a whole year's worth of receipts. So yeah. I had to change the, you know, and for me, because that was my real pain point, I just had to find an easier way.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Don't feel alone.
Definitely going to have to do that. So that is my biggest failure.
Well, I thank you for sharing those with us. I mean, they're definitely not big failures, but and it's
not
good to hear about the things you've learned, you know, that you've learned. So,
well, we've talked there then about the things that we would, in inverted commas, call failures. I mean, they were not in any way failures. But what would you say has been the highest point or the best part of your business journey thus far?
I might be repeating myself, but I think it really is people believing in me. That is the only reason I have got as far as I've got so far, because there's absolutely no way I would have had the confidence in myself. So through family and friends to begin with, you know, believing in me and telling me to go for it. Even hearing like my mum and dad think it was a good idea. Throughout my whole career, I've never wanted to let them down. And I think through redundancies or job loss and things, and I've got to find a new job. I don't want to let anybody down. I don't want to let myself down. And I think to walk away from a whole career and then start something brand new like this, I remember thinking, like, oh God, what will my mum and dad think though? And actually, I mean, they were so supportive. I think they could see how unhappy I was in myself. I think when I said to them, I'm actually thinking about doing this, you know, I'm pursuing it. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know if anything will come of it. And they were like, yes, I think you should. And that to me, just that, as I say, that belief from others has been a huge high point. And the other high point is actually being able to make things and raise money for charity. So, and they've just come out of, I guess, nowhere really. I've just sort of thought, oh, maybe I could do this. And if I offer to put £5 of that towards this charity, I wonder if anyone will take it up. And it has. Just again, the fact that people can help me do that, help me feel good by helping a charity, and also then have their own piece of jewelry or pass it on to somebody else with sentiment for whatever reason. So like with Tommy's, a lot of people bought them for people they knew had suffered baby loss, or they'd suffered baby loss themselves. And that meant a huge amount to me. So I think those two things are probably my sort of high points so far.
Oh, yeah, and they're really good high points as well, Amy. So thank you so much for sharing them with us. So thinking about for the future of your business then, what is one of the goals that you've kind of got for yourself and your business?
My next priority is a website. It was my priority in about month one of starting. We're over a year now. Last year I thought I was going to do it, and then COVID hit, and well, we all know that the world just turned upside down and things did not go to plan. So this year that is my priority, because, you know, as much as Instagram and Facebook, which are my only platforms at the moment where I share things, I mean, I haven't even got like the shopping links on there. Number one, I don't know how to do it, but number two, I haven't had the time. But I need to create the time to actually get content ready for a website. I've got a friend who's actually helping create one for me, which is amazing. That's another thing under the help question. If you've got friends who can have skills that can help you, use them if they're willing. My husband's cousin helped with my logo. As I say, my friend Dave is helping with a website. And that's another high point when people will help you like that. So yeah, so my goal is to get the content ready, decide what it is that I'm actually selling on the website. I think try and focus what the business is and where it's going, and the things that I really want to be doing.
Well, I was going to say, this isn't technically my next question, but I just wanted to ask. So at the moment, just because I'm always interested in the intricacies of how people are running the behind the scenes, how are you currently processing an order then? Are you using like just PayPal? Because I think it's always interesting for people to know that if they're wanting to start a handmade business, they don't necessarily clearly have to have a, you know, website to start off with. So how is that happening at the moment? How are you processing orders and things like that?
It's literally just through messages and PayPal. I've got a business PayPal account, which I set up just when I started. So in August 2019, when I started, people will just drop me a message and say, oh, I'm just wondering if you could make something like this, or do you have the time, or can you do this? We'll have a bit of liaison about it. I'll send some sketches across to them if need be. I'll price it up. I'll ask for a 50% deposit. So obviously that will help me to buy the materials. And then when it's finished, before I send it off, I'll then send a final invoice. That's my current way of working. It's just how I started and how I've continued. And it seems to work at the moment. Obviously, for me, I need to make sure the materials and the packaging and everything the cost is covered, particularly if somebody decided they didn't want it, which hasn't happened. But at least I know that I've got my costs covered if that did have to happen for some reason. And I'll also, so in PayPal, when you send an invoice, there's the terms and conditions bit. So I've written terms and conditions that I add to my invoice about sort of refunds, or if they wanted to send something back, and if it was something that was personalized with hand stamping, like with a name or a date, or if it's got a birthstone in it, or if it's earrings, then I wouldn't be able to accept it back. But otherwise, you know, the options are there. And it's probably not the most slick of processes, which is what...
Sounds pretty slick to me. Don't you think so, Lindsay? That's very organised.
Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, that's why I want the website, really. So, because it'll be so much easier when people can just, you know, obviously click on something, pay for it there and then, tell me what delivery they want and things like that. But at the moment, I'll give the option of, you know, whether they want it first class, track delivery, special delivery, add that to the cost. But, you know, it takes a bit of time as well at the back end, you know, having to work out the cost for every single piece, which if it was on a website, it's already there. But again, it's you know, it's a huge learning curve and it's worked for me so far. And hopefully I can just develop on that going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a really sort of personalised service, doesn't it, Anna? And, you know, and then I suppose it'll be, you know, thinking when you get your website, you know, there'll be elements of that perhaps you'll want to keep, but then there'll be other elements that you'll want people to just perhaps be able to order online without all of the conversations back and forth. And
absolutely,
and a bit of a mixture perhaps.
That's definitely the way I see it going. So there would be a section to still be able to do bespoke commissions and, as you say, have that personal conversations with people, still write, you know, still draw sketches for them and all of that, but still have an area where people can go. If they just happen to like some of the earrings that I've made multiple numbers of, they can just choose those earrings. Yeah. Or I'd like a page as well, like a causes page. So where I can put my nuggets, where I can put my rainbows, so that they can go there and then they can, if they buy those things, money will go to those charities. So I've got big ideas. I just need to put like a stop to the clock.
I'm sure you're going to make it all happen, Amy.
It's very much sounds like it. You sound like you've literally got every page of the website sorted in your brain. You just need to, did you say his name was Dave? Did you say Dave? You just need Dave to put it into practice and then it'll be, and then it'll be there. It'll be out there.
He's been amazing. I have to say, it's actually me. I now need to like give him the photos, give him the descriptions, give him the costs and all of that. So he's just sat there waiting, really. As soon as it's up and ready, I will share it with you because I can't wait, but it might be another 2 years, but we'll see.
I have high hopes for 2021 then, because I keep actually forgetting that we're in January. I still feel like I'm in last year. So I'm like, no, it's new year. So this year, yes. So what have you found to be the most surprising thing so far along your business journey?
There's a couple of things, really. Probably the fact that I am enjoying doing it so much and that I am kind of absorbing so much business stuff. I'm listening to like business podcasts, reading books, researching websites. Oh, as I say, I would never have thought this would be me. I've surprised myself in my makes. When I do try new things and when people do ask if I could, I don't know, make a 18 karat gold ring with these three stones in, my immediate reaction is, oh my goodness, can I? And then I do it and I look at the finished piece and I just think, oh, I made that. And it's just the most incredible feeling. And I surprise myself constantly. So that's one of the things. And also, as I say, the support from people has knocked me over, because I've had people that I went to school with, people that I've worked with in the past, you know, I haven't spoken to them for years, and then they've contacted me and bought pieces from me. I've worked with them on designs, and it's just put me back in touch with so many people. So although, like I said, I'm working on my own, you know, it's quite a solitary thing, I'm actually in touch with so many more people now. And the other surprising thing is the support from the community, particularly the jewelers community. When I worked in media, as I say, it's pretty cutthroat. Everybody's in competition with each other. I mean, amazing, but don't get me wrong, some of my best friends I've met working in radio and TV. But it's a completely different ball game to the handcrafted side of things, where everybody is so supportive of one another. You know, jewellers are commenting on each other's posts, on each other's pieces, saying, oh, that's amazing. And I'm doing it to that, you know, it's and we help each other. I'll get like a message from somebody asking, oh, what polisher did you use? Or what did you use for this? Or I'll message somebody, how did you do that? And I just think it's incredible that people are willing to help each other in that way, as opposed to feel competitive, if that makes sense. And you just feel a part of something. So Yeah,
I definitely agree with that. I think the whole handmade community, I think it is like so supportive. It's kind of like, feels like we're all in this together. So let's Absolutely. Just help each other out.
Definitely. And even, you know, I mentioned jewelers, but like you say, yeah, just the handmade community, whatever people are doing. And I've tried to support small businesses more since I've become one. Because you really understand what goes into it and the passion that people have for it and the hard work that people put into things. So at Christmas, I know a lot of people, all of my friends were buying from small businesses. And I think it's just become even more prevalent in people's minds of what people are working on and putting their sort of heart and soul into, it's just a whole new world. I love it.
Yeah. Me and Anna, I'm sure Anna will agree, but we are just a bit obsessed with business and, you know, we both just love it.
Yeah.
And I can tell that from you as well, you know, from your posts and your podcasts and everything. And that's one of the things that helps me to feel passionate about what I'm doing is getting that passion from other people. It's so engaging when you're sharing things about how to run a business, you know, and stories from other people. That's just the best thing to listen to because it's just so inspiring and so helpful.
That's really good to know. And I completely agree that there's nothing quite like the handmade community from what I've seen anyway. I think that we're all coming at it from very different angles for whatever reason, but we all very much are on the same mindset as one another. So it's like we're all in one brain, but all kind of coming at it from different bodies. It's very strange. And I know what I'm trying to say. That metaphor was shocking. But you know what I mean, don't you?
I think anyone in the handmade community gets it. Yeah,
definitely. So to sort of finish off today then, Amy, what would be your business tip that you would share with other handmade business owners? What do you think is the top tip that you would share?
The one thing that really helped me when I first started was going back to Jessica Rose from Jewelers Academy. She said something that really stuck in my mind, which was just do one thing for your business every day. And whether that's while you're still working, you know, full time and it's just a hobby and you want it to be a business, or whether it's when you're starting or planning, just doing one thing. And even if it's just writing a list of things to do, or even if it's just making a piece of something or buying the materials, that stuck with me because I thought, sometimes I think you could, and I think I said it, you can feel so overwhelmed by all the things that you want to do. You don't know where to start, so you don't, and you put it off, or you don't feel the confidence in doing it. But I think if you do everything little by little, step by step, just becomes clearer. Just take it a small step at a time and reach out to people. Like I say, if there are people with skills that can help you and guide you with whether it's marketing or branding or making, reach out to them. I've reached out to jewelry tutors from the London Jewelry School who, you know, taught me how to solder, and somebody might have come to me with a commission and I thought, I don't know if I can do that. And I've reached out and said, how would I do this? And Hayley was the tutor. She said, well, if you did it this way, that's a possibility. And I was able to take on the commission because she was so helpful to Blaine, you can do this actually. So reach out to those people if they're there, because, you know, and we're all willing to help each other, as you say. So I did want to say also immerse yourself in the handmade community as well, because I have found doing that on social media, number one, it makes you feel less alone if you're feeling like you're on your own doing your job. And you just get the support from people like you, from, as I say, other jewelers, from friends. There are people there who will have your back, and that will boost you to keep going.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, it's been really great talking to you today. A really inspiring interview, Amy, and I'm sure that, you know, you'll help lots of other handmade business owners who, you know, who listen to this episode, and definitely will inspire them. So thank you so much for joining us today. Do like and subscribe to the podcast, and thanks so much for joining us. So thanks, everyone.
Yes, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Amy. Thank you
so much for having me.
Take care, everybody. See you next time.